Whisper Messages. Highlights from the 2023 edition of the Memoirs of Billy Shears. In this video, I will highlight what I believe are some of the most important whisper messages from the new 2023 edition of the Memoirs of Billy Shears. These messages are encoded into the book via very faint and often very small typed letters. They are so hard to read that I had to read most of them with a torch in broad daylight. It took me a week to type them all out, and then another week to sort them into categories so I could present these highlights to you now. Let's start with some opening thoughts about what is to come and what happened on the 21st of February 2023. From the preface of the postscript added in 2021, these whisper messages will include more facts about whatever is in the text, but will also go off subject into whims, opinions, ideas, quotes, theories, or maybe philosophical tangents. To get the most out of them, treasure what you will and ignore the rest, which is exactly what I've done. On page 13, which is the very first page of chapter 1, it says, "Everything is about to change. The disclosure is not only within this book, but everywhere. We are at the end when all that has been hidden is revealed. Now is the great uncovering." Below that it says, "Were the threats against Billy to keep him working or to suppress this book?" Which immediately makes us think, who's threatening Billy and for what purpose? And then under that it says, "The moratorium expired on the 21st of February 2023. After keeping the book on the down low for 13 years, we may finally start promoting it." That's also very interesting, because one would think by now all the people who are willing to embrace it have already embraced it. So I'm not sure what demographic they're going to promote it to. In January 2023, I made a video about the ancient Roman festival of Feralia, which is a festival to honour the dead, occurring on the 21st of February each year, and that was described in the second volume of Ovid's Fasti. And on page 123, I noticed this quote from Ovid, "Wherever I look, there is nothing but the image of death." So I thought that inclusion was quite interesting as well. So let's look at some of the information that we get about Billy. On page 494, little Billy was born in 1937, so that confirms what we thought. Page 76, "Would he cut off the extra toes to match Paul?" This, of course, is a reference to the idea that he might have six toes. On page 17, "Paul was 5'10", Jane was 5'8", and Billy was 6'2.5". Okay, so 5'10" would make him the same height as George Harrison in his passport. And Ruth McCartney, Paul's stepsister, has said that Billy was 6'2.5", so that confirms that. Jane was 5'8". That seems a bit tall to me, anyway. I think about her standing next to Michael Caine, who was 6'1", and standing next to Vincent Price, who was 6'4", and she looks pretty short next to both of them. So I'm not sure what that's about. On her IMDb, it says she's 5'7". So someone's lying. On page 92, it says, "William became interested in Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass and Alice in Wonderland because Jane Asher played the title role in their dramatized versions," which surprises me. I would have thought he would have been more interested earlier on, because she did that in 1958. There you go. Page 102, we have the first of three statements about Billy and his eyes. "Billy has one eye on earth and one under it. His third eye sees both." Did they bury one of his eyes? You have to wonder. Or is that just a reference to being in the ethereal underworld? I'm not sure. Page 309, William says eye yoga kept him from needing a reading glass. There's the eye yoga that we heard about before. Page 584. I think Mike Williams and his female compadres will be very happy to see this. Heather Mills' prosthetic leg and his own prosthetic eye gave Billy a greater awareness of the tragedies of landmines. So there it is stated very emphatically, I think. He has a fake eye. Poor boy. It does actually answer some questions, but then poses others. Why did he lose an eye? How did he lose an eye? When did he lose an eye? Yeah, that poses more questions than it answers, actually. Page 302. Billy's worst addictions have been cigarettes and alcohol. He suggests drinking only in moderation. Although he has tried harmful drugs, he only encourages the relatively safe highs of LSD, DMT, and pot, which, like mushrooms and other safe plant medicines, help break addictions to harmful drugs. I'm not sure you use a drug to break an addiction to a drug. I'm not sure how that works, but okay. Page 86. Even as one of the elite's most successful frontmen, Billy was denied the oppressed technology that could have saved Linda's life. A few degrees of separation are always preserved between the celebrities or politicians that we see and those who call the shots. That's very interesting. I was very surprised, knowing what we know now, that Linda died in the way that she did, or the way they claimed she did, because I would have thought they could have easily saved her. And so, in some part, that answers that question. I've seen documentaries on particularly light and sound based treatments that have cured people, not just of cancer, but a whole range of debilitating, life-threatening conditions. And I've seen people come back who were terminal, who were expected to die within weeks or even days, and they've lived for many years past the point where they were meant to, purely because they had nothing to lose, and they participated in some very experimental therapies. Therapies that those doctors were shut down for. They literally lost their medical licenses because they were offering those treatments. So you know that they were onto something. Page 262. Billy felt like playing the pool role was not worth it. He wanted to quit. Of course, quitting would not bring Paul back. It would not end John's pain or Billy's either. Besides, he could run, as the saying goes, but could not hide. Quitting was not an option. Page 582. Feeling bad for victims of terrorism and his own servitude, Billy sang that it was his right to live a free life, from the song called Freedom. If he were free to live his own life, he would much rather be with his grandchildren than make McCartney appearances. That's not very surprising, now, is it? Page 383. The global structure is built and sustained by non-disclosure. Oaths are sworn with graphic death penalties portrayed ritualistically. With the harm that Billy has received already, anxiety prevents him from crossing delineated limits. He will never approach the most abhorrent topics. I wonder what topics they are. Because there's some pretty horrible topics in this book. And it's the stuff that they're still not telling us. How bad does it get? Let's have a look at some whisper messages about the Osiris and Horus myth. Page 31. Was Billy meant to be Horus? I've often wondered about this, because in the diaries of Crowley, he writes quite extensively about the sex magic rituals that he performed with Deirdre, the girl Pat, or Patricia Doherty, however you know her, and they produce a sun child. which was Randall. And I don't know the ins and outs of these things, but I gather that producing a sun child is more difficult than producing a moon child. And I would have thought, since Horus and his myth links up with Ra, or Re, the sun god, that Horus would be reborn as a sun child. I wonder if Randall was meant to be Horus, but it wasn't up to the task. Certainly he didn't have the musical skill that Billy has. Maybe Billy was the second option, simply because he was up to the task, and he did have the skill. I've often wondered that. So that's a very interesting question. Page 341. If Crowley was right about how to reenact the Osiris-Horus myth for them to take possession, then Billy is possessed by entities far more powerful than Paul. That's a pretty grim thought. Page 562. The initiation of each new pharaoh included consuming the brains of the one before to receive the ka, or soul, of every pharaoh before him all the way back to Osiris, making each a composite of all of them. All were Osiris. And this is well known. Egyptologists have been talking about this for some time, so I don't doubt it, but it's still pretty grim. The next part that's written under it I thought was particularly interesting. The Eucharist, or communion, is not, according to the Catholic Church, a form of divine cannibalism. This is very interesting, because many people think that the Eucharist is based on the Egyptian clay and wheat ceremonies, whereby a priest uses clay molds to reproduce the body parts of Osiris using a wheat paste. And the parts are then hidden all over the town, and his wife, or someone similar, plays the role of Isis and has to find them again, and then they're consumed. So likewise, the traditionally wheat wafer that's used in the Catholic communion is also thought of as being the literal body of Christ. And I wonder if one ceremony came from the other. It then carries on. Even with brains spread like jam on delicious bread, the coercion to consume them reinforces the trauma that pushed the mind-controlled participant to that point. I mean, that's horrible. I've been a vegan for over 20 years. I can't even imagine eating meat ever again, never mind brains. That is a horror beyond horror. Let's carry on. Page 564. Paul is one of many entities to attach to Billy. Since Billy's early childhood, whenever he retreated into a dissociative space, entities attached to him. He would return and see how he had been injured. I'm guessing this is relation to something like RSA. I mean, what he must have been through is dreadful. I do feel very sorry for him in that sense, because it should never happen to anybody. So, some whisper messages about Paul now and his death. I'll start with a little silly one which caught my eye. Page 85. Apollo. Next to the word Apollo. Page 119. Paul was conceived on the 11th September 1941. Paul was sacrificed on the 11th of September 1966. One has to ask, one, is that true? And two, how do they know when he was conceived? Was he conceived from a ritual? I don't know. But that's pretty full on. Page 134. It was not a discreet surgical hole, but a damn good whacking, which are lyrics from the song Piggies, that exposed the almond-sized pine cone in the centre. When Paul's brains wandered from his skull, it was mostly the pineal gland that the agent was commissioned to collect. The pineal being the third eye, the seat of the soul. Page 357. Paul's post-death preservation was as critical as his death. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, what did they do with him? They preserved him in some way. Did they mummify him? I don't know. Page 405. From conception, 11th September 1941, to death, 11th September 1966, Paul died at 25. The 28 IF license plate was stolen several times before the car was auctioned in 1986. From conception to Abbey Road's release, September 1969, Paul would be 28. Page 504. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein reminds us that these 3D bodies can be reanimated. We have Paul's body parts. Can he be brought back to life like Osiris and Frankenstein? No, I don't think he can. Back off, Frankenstein, is 504 in Jewish gematria. Okay. Page 71. Although Billy's family heritage is steeped in Scotland, Paul's maternal grandfather and paternal great-grandfather were born in Ireland. Exactly as I expect. He was Liverpool Irish. Page 148. Left-handed Paul led the left-hand path of breaking taboos in favour of self-determination. Page 303. On average, right-handed people live 9 years longer than left-handed. It would be 9 years, wouldn't it? Page 157. Mal Evans played the part of the magical mystery boy, representing Paul with his brains bashed out. That's the image that's used in the film. The body without the head. The Beatles' music and performances. Page 29. Ringo did not drum on Beatles albums that were released in Paul McCartney's lifetime. Bernard Purdy was right, is all I can say to that. Page 34. They considered using Keith Allison to keep the Beatles performing publicly. Well, they wouldn't have got very far if they had, because he doesn't really look like him. Page 49. Michelle was mostly written by George Martin, which is not very surprising at all. Page 74. This is an interesting one. The Billy Pepper and the Pepper Potts material was backdated to fit the narrative that Billy covered Beatles songs. The moment I heard those albums, I thought to myself, these are demos, aren't they? There's Please Please Me on there, and I Want to Hold Your Hand, and I Saw Her Standing There. I think they were the demos that the Beatles had made for them to teach them how to play those songs. Says in the book, I think, if I remember rightly, that Barry Mason and the Dave Clark Five were brought in to make a demo of How Do You Do It? So it wouldn't be unprecedented. Page 107. Voices, humour and ancestry made them assets. I think the ancestry there is particularly interesting because knowing these people, that could mean anything. It might not just be having a family member who's a Freemason or a family member who's in the peerage. It could be anything. I mean, if they think that Paul McCartney was the reincarnated Osiris, ancestry could mean anything. It could mean any entity anywhere. Page 393. Until Billy stepped in, nearly all of the Beatles' piano or keyboarding was done by George Martin. That doesn't surprise me at all. Page 124. Billy, as Paul McCartney, said, if anyone earned the title of the fifth Beatle, it was George Martin. He was the most generous, intelligent and musical person I've ever had the pleasure to know. And that doesn't surprise me in the slightest, because I think George Martin probably contributed more to the Beatles psyop musically than we will ever know. the deep state behind the Beatles. Page 85. And here we have a breakdown of the word entertainment. So entertainment, enter from the Latin form inside, tain from the Latin of hold, possess, occupy and control, and ment from the Latin for mind. Your entertainment enters into, possesses and controls your mind. And that's certainly been the way that it's been used. Page 195. Brian Epstein acted under George Martin's direction. This doesn't surprise me. I think, just my personal opinion, that Brian was probably on the same kind of level as the Beatles. I think he knew or didn't know about as much as they did. Page 230. William helped Jeff Emmerich mix some parts of Revolver in the Studio 2 control room, but waited a few weeks before buying a copy of the completed album. Although he already loved hearing Eleanor Rigby on the radio, it had a much greater impact when he played the album. So again, we're being told that Billy was much more on the scene, part of the actual working psyop from the beginning. If he was making demos and even helping in the studio before Paul even died, then he was really involved from the start. Page 365. Although the Beatles also benefited from synchronicities, the JFK timing was planned. JFK's assassination, with help from the CIA, launched the British invasion. Page 369, and I thought of Mike Williams when I read this. To understand piggies, study Theodore W. Adorno. I will do. Now some messages about John Lennon and George Harrison. There were quite a lot of quotes of George Harrison. I didn't include that many because there are hundreds and hundreds of messages and I had to really whittle it down. I actually ended up with 78 typed pages worth of whisper messages because there are literally hundreds of them. Page 90. George played bass on She Said, She Said because Billy left earlier after contention with John. He had four shots at getting it right. John's death took four shots, halfway between 7 p.m. and 3:45 a.m. I'm not entirely sure what I meant to think about that, but it is interesting. Page 302. In George's honour, a memorial tree was planted in Griffith Park, Los Angeles. The pine was later destroyed by beetles. I remember reading about this. It's such an irony. It was replaced by a lookalike, but the height is not right. Much like Paul, his lookalike height was not right either. None of them. Page 480. John's depression was rooted in things that he could not discuss openly. He felt some responsibility for Paul's demise and resented his own gain from playing along with the charade. He was ready to go public when he died. I dare say that's why he died. Page 555. John's changes in alignment suggested that the Beatles myth was not his sole purpose. I wonder what his sole purpose actually was. These are some of my favourites. Vivian Stansel and Vivaldi. Page 86. Vivian Stansel was 86th, which is slang for murdered, which doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I think they said that he died in a house fire that was started by an electrical fault, which in Britain almost never happens because we have the highest electrical safety standards of anywhere in the world. So he would have had to have been murder because the chances of it being an accident are astronomical. Page 87, and I absolutely love this. If this was aimed at me, thank you very much, is all I can say, Billy and Tom. Like leaving a religion and then doing everything conceivable to prove one's emancipation from that belief system, the ginger geezer satirizes the red priest. The name Viv secretly reflected Billy's self-identification with Vivaldi. I laughed my ass off when I read this the first time, because I don't think there's anyone other than me who has spoken about Vivaldi in relation to the Beatles psyop and the McCartney conspiracy. So if that is aimed at me, which is an uncomfortable act of ego for me as a Buddhist, but if it is aimed at me, then thank you very much. And likewise, this one, page 291. You got a light, Mac? No, but I got a dark brown overcoat. Is literally the last line of my favourite Bonzo tune, Big Shot, which I spoke about when I was being interviewed by Mike Williams. You guys are trolling me. I love it. And you did have a Mac, you naughty boy. Right, The Big Club. Page 346. It's a big club and you ain't in it. George Carlin. A quote we all know well. Also on the same page, most people in the club will be shocked to discover that they too are disposable. Well, they shouldn't be, because that's how communism works. Page 361. When Billy was invited to the Bohemian Grove, he was told that it was like a summer camp, with activities, talks and ceremony. Billy clarifies that he was invited to Bohemian Grove in the 70s, but declined because it excluded Linda. Which is really interesting, because in the main text I think it says he went, so that's an interesting update. Also on the same page, slide that B over. Have you noticed that the Super Bowl halftime show honours the superb owl? Yes, I did. The superb owl of Minerva, I think they're referring to. Page 424. Gus Duggan, who produced the Bonzo's albums, also produced Elton's Your Song and his Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album. Small world. Page 425. Dick James and Brian Epstein established the Beatles' publisher, Northern Song. Dick James co-founded the DJM record label and recording studios, which signed Elton John and Bernie Taupin. Elton and Bernie were in the club from the start. And that's not very surprising. Hidden history. Page 119. How did Building 7 go down? It was blown up, obviously. I remember watching on BBC News the presenter saying that Building 7 had gone down and it was still standing behind her. Page 379. Barack Hussein Obama II, Barry Soetoro, was the 44th president of the US and spouse of First Lady Michelle Obama, Michael Lavon Robinson. I like to call Barack Obama, Indonesian Barry, because that's where he grew up, apparently. And, of course, Big Mike. He actually wasn't legitimately a president. I don't think he ever became an American citizen. So he was a totally illegitimate president. And he was gay. I remember Joan Rivers being caught on the hop on film, and she was asked, do you think there'll ever be a gay president? And she said, well, we already had that with Obama. And the presenter was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I mean, Michelle's a tranny. The journalists were so stunned. And then a matter of weeks later, poor old Joan was dead. So obviously they didn't take that joke very well. This is a real shame because I like Joan Rivers. She was excellent. She was a very funny woman. And there aren't that many funny women. Page 414. Controlling others is as simple as controlling their information. As quoted by Churchill, history is written by the victors. For example, to repair Russia's reputation after destroying the Tartarian Empire, they said Tartaria never existed. Page 476. Elon Musk says there are still no technologies to take astronauts not only into space above low Earth orbit, but also to land them on the lunar surface. Well, if by technologies they mean tin cans propelled by jet fuel Probably not. No. If they're talking about portals, stargates, and wormholes, that's another matter. Page 476, so also on the same page. Although we are told to only look back to World War II for historical context, the current Russo-Ukrainian conflict specifically, and NATO's antagonism towards Russia generally, has its roots in Russia's war against the Khazarians, which would be modern-day Ukrainians, 1,200 years ago. Yes, anyone who really knows what's going on over there knows that's true. Hitler, Nazis, and Jews. Page 136. Maria Anna Schlichelgruber was a servant in the mansion of Lionel Nathan de Rothschild, eldest son of Nathan Meyer Rothschild, until, at the age of 41, she became pregnant and moved away. When her child, Alois, was 5 years old, Maria married Johann Georg Hiedler. Maria died 4 years later. Johann died when Alois was 19. Page 137. Eventually, Alois sought to officially change his name to match his stepfather. However, due to a clerical spelling error, the name Hiedler was rendered Hitler, which Alois accepted and passed on to his four children, Alois Jr., Angela, Adolf, and Paula. After pretending to be Adolf and Eva getting married, the couple retired to their bunker. The male actor spent the entire wedding night fully clothed, lying on the bed wide awake. The next day, at the same time, Heinz Linger suicided both actors. Page 138. Although EMI was criticized for hiring so many Nazis, the US, in Operation Paperclip, hired more than 1,600 Nazi specialists. The USSR and others also gathered all that they could. Page 318. Most Ashkenazi Jews are genetically European. The heritage spoken of in the footnote is Jewish in the Rothschild Khazarian sense, not in any sense of descending from the biblical Judah. Restricted technology and knowledge. Page 111. Anti-aging technologies are being suppressed until the world population has been reduced and sterilized. I'm already sterilized, sadly. Page 239. CERN's Large Hadron Collider enables interdimensional communication. CERN has been called the key to the abyss. There's been some really weird things that have happened over the top of that, like portals opening and stuff like that. Very crazy. Page 295. Google is said to collect surveillance data on cell phones, even while in airplane mode. Data collection and control will be complete when surveillance devices are embedded in every human. The masses are easily controlled by fear and ignorance. When frightened enough, they agree to anything. Well, the last few years have proven that to be true. Page 530. Most of the propaganda against cannabis was financially motivated because hemp, pot's cousin, threatened the paper and plastics industries. Well, that's very interesting. I hadn't really thought about that, but that makes sense because hemp is a fantastic plant. You can do so many things with it. Dystopian future. Page 340. When everything Americans believe is false, our misinformation campaign will be complete. William Casey, CIA Director, 1981-87. I've seen that before. It's about right, isn't it? Page 374. At the top, above human administration, the satanic agenda is to eliminate humans. Wowza. Page 571. Imagine there's no countries, no religion, no possessions, a brotherhood of man, sharing all the world. And then on the same page, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, Klaus Schwab. Yep. Page 583. Some governments, at war with their own citizens, pass laws that will make survival impossible. For their full collateral liquidation, some nations are creating pestilence, famine, and war. Compare Ezekiel 5:12. Page 253. According to the Illuminati, Earth has been denounced and cursed. The plan has been to eradicate the human race and restart it with better controls. Now with gene editing and controlled reproduction, Yahweh/Enlil's genocidal biblical precedent in Samuel 15:2-3 is now being carried out on a global scale. So now some more pleasant messages. Dreaming and astral travel. Page 19. We can learn a lot about our dreams when we remember them. Consider keeping a dream journal. Write dreams down as soon as you wake up before you forget them. Reflecting on them later helps us know ourselves better. Page 33. Have you dreamt of Paul or Billy yet? When you do, remember to write them down in the back of the book. There are loads and loads of messages that are basically variations of that message. Page 224. Our three-dimensional existence is not real. Our own consciousness renders it like a dream. People are interdimensional beings. It is common to interact with beings in other dimensions. When we do, meeting them is easier in the astral or ethereal realms. Our reality is too dense. And that makes me wonder, do other beings from outside this place, this realm, do they have to have avatars in order to be here in the same way that we have 3D bodies? I don't know. Maybe. Page 312. Do you astral travel? Leave your body for an hour to join us in the astral field at Hyde Park, London. Through meditation, meet us and each other every 11th of September from 5 to 6 a.m. GMT. The Hyde Park crowd grows bigger every year. Why is it in Hyde Park? If you're astral traveling, you can go literally anywhere. Consciousness and Source. Page 23. Your consciousness has been infiltrated and corrupted. This book is to switch it back. Page 53. Just as the DNA in every cell contains the blueprint of the whole body, any part of this fractal simulation reveals the whole. Page 63. We began as source energy. Make this your mantra. Before the universe was, I am. Page 215. We are the universe becoming self-aware. We increase our consciousness through what we dream. It is a continuance of source, increasing self-awareness as it dreams of us, projecting the hologram of its own aspects so that it may know itself through our experience. Page 249. Our reality is our consciousness within the collective consciousness, within this simulation, within the universal mind. Page 316. The universal mind is the Tao, the absolute. I mean, if you're Hindu or a Buddhist or anything like that, all of this will make immediate sense. And equally, if you're into Hermeticism, you're an alchemist, for the same sort of reasons, it will make absolute sense. If you're anyone else, you're probably a bit lost. Waking up from the Matrix. Page 181. You are leaving the Matrix. It may feel like you are leaving home, but it's the other way around. Page 440. As we increase in consciousness, we raise the energy field around us, impacting other fields. The human family is becoming polarized, dividing those who embrace the light from those who eschew it. Taken to its logical conclusion, this simulation will split as parallel universes, with part ascending and part descending. Very possibly. I think I've probably jumped timelines already, but that's another story. Let's just say I went to someone's funeral in one timeline and she's still alive in this timeline. We'll put it like that. Page 147. See, the love that's there sleeping is also a metaphor for the unawakened love consciousness. We awaken faster when we are too uncomfortable to sleep. We have now reached the part of the simulation where the pain caused by those creating a hell realm is awakening the light workers. It was foreseen. The world is now waking up and ascending, raising frequencies. Well, let's hope so. Page 510. Once you accept your shadow, that's the shadow side, you can use it consciously for good. Energy, matter, space and time. Page 483. In a 3D simulation, what manifests as matter is merely energy slowed down and collapsed into particle form that reverts back to its prior energy state when unobserved. We're entering into idealism here. Page 484. Since we are all one of the same source energy, everyone and everything can be accessed through anyone and anything. Our projected holographic universe is only visible within this simulation. It does not exist outside of it. Page 489. Like a program running in the background until appearing on our screens, the material world conserves energy by existing only in potentiality, except when observed. Interacting with our senses, electrons are set in place, waves become particles, and matter is solidified. Being our dream, nothing exists except when we experience it. As if objects in space were real, we perceive people and things as distinct from ourselves. Not perceiving our shared source energy, one of the most challenging aspects of this 3D simulation is its illusion of separation. Page 644. It's being here and now that's important. There's no past and there's no future. Time is a very misleading thing. All there is ever is the now. George Harrison. Absolutely with you there, George. Understanding reality. Page 275. See a broader spectrum through Dysynian glass. Reputedly, it's a glass that allows you to see auras. Page 344. A couple of quotes now from the Buddha. What you think you become, what you feel you attract, what you imagine you create. And on page 435. You will not be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger. Yep, I've learnt that the hard way. Page 597. We are all one. Whatever we do to others, we do to ourselves. Do no harm. That is literally the first precept if you're a Buddhist. Page 598. This three-dimensional realm of your consciousness is merely a tactile thought experiment in the mind of God. Page 600. No thing is real. 3D physicality is a projected program. You are the universe having a 3D simulation to know yourself. Page 601. The right and left hemisphere of our brains can communicate with each other in a field that is outside of space and time. And 306. We are interdimensional beings who have been taught to play small. Now, I'm a proponent of Hollow Earth. I think some of my subscribers may be proponents of Flat Earth. But either way, you'll find these messages very interesting. Page 477. This simulation only renders as it is shown. If Earth were shown from deep space, it would be rendered as a sphere. But from what is shown down here, it renders flat. The whole simulation is specific to each observer. Page 491. In the context of Earth as a holographic simulation, rather than as a base reality, we may say, Earth is a realm, it is not a planet, it is not an object, therefore it has no edge. Earth would be more easily defined as a system environment. Page 578. Looking at Mars through a telescope, we see a 2D circle that we interpret as a distant 3D sphere. It is the same standing on Mars, looking at Earth. However, standing on either, we are at the same simulation base, making them level with each other. Are Venus and Mars level with the Earth? I think all I can say to all of that is wowza. Page 661. If this realm were not a simulation, imagine the odds of the Sun and Moon appearing from Earth to be the exact same size. There's a thought. Now a few messages about frequencies. There's quite a lot of these in the book. Page 80. Dr. Emoto shows how water exposed to loving energy forms beautiful molecular designs, while water exposed to contentious energy turns ugly. Your body is 60% water, averaging 11.1 gallons or 42 liters. Its molecular formations are based on present energy fields. We form ourselves molecularly by the energy of what we think, feel, or hear. Page 174. 174 hertz is known to relieve pain and stress. This solfeggio frequency provides a sense of stability in the organs and especially supports the lower back, legs, and feet. Page 285. 285 hertz supports healing the tissues and organs. This solfeggio frequency promotes cellular regeneration. Some people use this frequency to treat minor injuries. Page 287. If cats love you, you probably have good energy. Page 417. 417 hertz clears negative energy and increases creativity. This solfeggio frequency helps us break negative cycles by dissolving negative emotions and thought patterns. Page 528. 528 hertz is known as the love and miracles frequency. The solfeggio frequency activates DNA repair. In one study, 528 hertz at 80 decibels increased cellular viability 20%. That's really interesting. I've actually tried experimenting with that particular frequency, and it made my body feel the most alive I think it's ever felt. It's a very, very interesting sensation. Page 555, simulation hack. Use the code 55515 to reduce pain. This is in relation to a CIA paper that I saw, I think, where if you were in pain and you recited 55515 over and over, eventually it did actually reduce your pain. Page 639. 639 hertz is said to enhance creativity, strengthen relationships, and promote communication. Speak your truth. This solfeggio frequency was shown to decrease cortisol levels, a stress hormone. Page 552. Through your music, you reach the spiritual. Music is very involved with the spiritual, as we know from the Hare Krishna mantra, George Harrison. And I also want to say a couple of things about 3, 6, and 9. All of the characters in the book, all the letters, all the punctuation, all sum to a number that is reducible to 3, 6, and 9. And that's shown in the book. There are long lists of all of the characters being reducible to 3, 6, and 9. I didn't include them here because it would have taken up a lot of space. But that's also something that's been included in the book. So they're obviously trying to get the vibes of 3, 6, and 9 all the way through the book as well. Ages and eons, cycles and cataclysms. Page 116. The Beatles came not to destroy the age of Pisces, but to complete it. The Beatles were the catalyst to shift the world from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. And then under that it says, imagine Aradia as Diana's mythical daughter. And next to that is a picture of Lady Di. Page 128. We are at the end of the cycle. Earth changes cannot be stopped. The population will vanish. Burning effigies of the phoenix only empowers it to rise more powerfully. Global transformative events were expected to start at the end of that 5,100 126-year Aztec cycle. I actually wrote about the Aztec cycle and calendar in relation to Paul's birth and death. I wrote about it on Substack, so if you want to go and have a look, then please do. Page 294. Going from the aeon of Osiris to the aeon of Horus. The patriarchal systems of Osiris must fall. Religions and nations must adapt or lose their power to interfere. Some traditions see Thoth as Hermes, Enoch, or Saurid. Before his work in Egypt, Thoth was an Atlantean priest king. Page 515. The Earth realm is entering a time of extraordinary change, unlike anything since the end of the cycle 12,000 years ago. Adjusting with it requires mental elasticity. The mind, like a muscle, must be flexible. Rigid thinking will break people. Page 578. In this 3D simulation, every cycle ends the same. Survivors pass down prophecies of what to expect next time. There's a flash, clouds of fire, and the earth moves and rearranges, etc. Page 581. The coming cataclysms, pole shift, solar cycle, Nibiru's return, etc., add urgency for the collateral liquidation and sterilization to eliminate natural humans who would compete with the new CRISPR-engineered species. We were shocked by the willful collateral damage. I'm not shocked by anything anymore. Page 592. The Beatles' raison d'etre was for Osiris and Horus to transform the world. Page 605. The Beatles are a psyop in a simulation. And now we have lots and lots of alien stuff, which I'm thrilled by because this is something I've been interested in my entire life. And I mentioned the negative alien agenda on my very first video, just very, very slightly at the end, because I didn't want to talk about it too much, because I didn't want to scare people off, frankly. But here they are, lots and lots of messages about ancient aliens. Page 91. Nibiru approaches Earth 2 or 3 times per solar system reset. Nibiru orbits our sun every 3,600 lunar years, 3,548 solar years. Page 450. The Sumerians tell us about the Anunnaki siblings, Enlil, Enki, and Ninhursag, who came to Earth from Nibiru. While here, they mix their DNA with that of the Homo erectus to produce Homo sapiens. The smaller Homo erectus brain was inferior in linguistic and analytical intelligence, but superior in interpersonal and intrapersonal intelligence. That sort of makes sense, because if you don't have language, then in order to get along with other people, you're going to have a lot more emotional intelligence. Page 451. The Homo sapiens, hybrid Anunnaki and Homo erectus, had it all, taking after both sides. Some people lean more one way than the other. Page 529. Although Enki first came to Earth as an extraterrestrial immigrant, he is no alien to us. He is our great-great-great-grandfather. Page 358. Her Majesty is a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. And that is written next to a picture of Queen Elizabeth II with her reptilian-looking eyes. Page 431. Humans might get along better if they understood that our simulation has been infiltrated by non-humans at war with Source. Subterranean Reptilians. This is written right next to the song of the same name in the last chapter of the book. Page 657. In this simulation, most of what we encounter is within Earth, not from the heavens. Although some UFOs are extraterrestrial, others turn out to be government-operated equipment or holograms, such as Project Bluebeam. Likewise, subterranean reptilians are sometimes mistaken for extraterrestrials. We tend to assume distant origins, Some old accounts of Satan appearing to individuals also appear to have been merely subterranean reptilians. From what we are told, before humans entered this simulation, technologically advanced reptilians dominated the planet. Their underground civilizations escaped Earth's devastations caused by cyclical solar events that occur every 12,000 years. Reformatting the simulation hard drive, so to speak, the cyclical solar flash appears with glorious clouds of lightning and some Vartika fires that melt the elements. 2 Peter 3:10. It scorches the sky and planet surface, deleting expired data to begin anew with the clean slate of a new heaven and a new earth. The sentient reptilians are said to be a hybrid of extraterrestrials and dinosaurs. Page 658. Every cycle is another sequel that begins in medias res, that's in the middle, just after the last flash. We might survive the glorious flash and inferno if we followed the reptilian example of subterranean safe holds. To escape the burning terror, Isaiah 2 also suggests going into caves or holes in the ground. However, if the only humans that survive are the few safely tucked away in underground bunkers, they would inherit their nation's entire national debts, without any more working class to secure loans and make their payments for them. All this subterranean stuff makes me think of the Dumbs. I'm not sure if that's what they're referring to. Rather than printing their own money, as would be expected from a sovereign nation, most nations have secured promissory notes from central banks owned by the Rothschilds, which they pay back with interest. As collateral for that debt, they create corporate fiction by each birth certificate. Each corporation is shown in all capital letters, see page 521, as opposed to a person's name that would appear in upper and lower case. The failed nations are liquidating lucratively, receiving credits for cooperative collateral damage. And this is the page that they were referring to. Although Paul McCartney, the man, had died, Paul McCartney, the government-created corporate fiction, now under Billy's control, was still in business, still paid taxes, etc., making the document admissible in court while bypassing the issue of identity. Billy typed the legal fiction's name, as shown by being in all caps. It was not Paul, the man, dissolving the band. It was his corporation doing it. He underlined the corporate name, as if the corporation had signed or stamped it. I have an interesting story about this, because about 4 or 5 years ago, I used a utility online whereby you would type in your national insurance number and it told you all of the companies that had ever traded you. And I had about 800,000. And I went to the online common law court and I declared myself a free woman. And about 6 months later, I went back to that utility and I typed in my national insurance number and I wasn't there. Whether I had been taken off the list, whether they'd stopped trading me, I don't know, but I wasn't there. Page 659. Each certificate represents a human to be eliminated if the nation defaults on its loan. Rather than waiting for the natural calamities to destroy that collateral, making every nation insolvent without assets or collateral, it was economically sensible to cash out. Supporting the agenda to start over with another species upgrade, especially since most of that collateral would be lost anyway in the naturally occurring end of the Earth cycle. So there's your building back better. The reptilians devised the debt-based banking scheme to lawfully take back their planet. The eugenicist financiers brokered the generous compensation that the nations participated in consensually. Although humans had the resources for universal abundance, those whom they chose to represent them sold them out as collateral for the debt that would only be cleared by death. Humans thus consented to their eradication, which is now in progress. Like coaxing children to build block towers higher and higher until they all crash down, the global prosperity crash, loan default, and relinquishment of collateralized chattel were all planned for each nation from the start. We were doomed. Remember, this book is just a novel about a dystopian realm overrun by a death cult. If the story were real, it would be banned. You can help by sharing this novel ASAP with as many people as possible before it is banned by someone confusing it for non-fiction. Anastheria, which is a ritual for Dionysus. So on pages 660 to 663, there's a song called New Moon Dark. Celebrating each new and full moon, sing New Moon Dark around the fire, especially while dancing. On November's full moon, eat some Egyptian blue water lily, at your own risk, and add some to wine that you will save for Anastheria. On February's full moon, while celebrating Anastheria, drink that wine and eat that soggy flour, at your own risk. Don't drive afterward. This is a little window, a little insight into what they get up to. That's why I included this. I'm not actually asking you to do this. Some closing thoughts. Page 546. You don't have to be told what parts are fiction. As you dig through the layers, the fiction set up in each previous layer melts away. They were only there to get you here. With eyes wide open, you see and know yourself. Page 591. If you do not understand numerology, don't worry about it. If you do understand, that key unlocks the book. Which is what we thought all along. Page 551. It is the same for solving the layers in this book. You ask, why did he share that part? Is he being literal or parabolic? Did he just shift us to another level? Will this be on the test? There's a test. And finally, page 323. The biggest obstacle to learning is that we think we already know. I've learnt that the hard way. Anyway, those are my selections. Thank you for watching and listening. Let me know what you think in the comments, and goodbye.